Dear congregation, as we have gathered together to worship the Lord again, we do so confessing that our help is in the name of the Lord who has made the heavens and the earth. Amen. Receive the Lord's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us continue to sing to the Lord's praise from Psalter 368, stanzas 1 through 5. Psalter 368, all five stanzas. Congregation, as it is our privilege this service to have the administration of baptism, we'd like to precede that by turning in our form for the administration of baptism to read what baptism signifies and seals. You can find this booklet in the pew in front of you, and we'll begin our reading on page 1. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of holy baptism is summarized as follows. First, we and our children are conceived and born in sin. This means that we are, by nature, children of wrath, and therefore cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we are born again. Baptism by immersion or sprinkling teaches us that sin has made us so impure that we must undergo a cleansing which only God can accomplish. By this, we are admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and to turn to God for our cleansing and salvation. Second, baptism signifies and seals to us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. For this reason, we are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized into the name of the Father, God the Father testifies and seals to us that He makes an eternal covenant of grace with us. He adopts us as His children and heirs, and therefore He promises to provide us with all good and protect us from all evil, or turn it to our benefit. When we are baptized into the name of the Son, God the Son seals to us that He washes us in His blood from all our sins and unites us with Him in His death and resurrection. Thus, we are freed from our sins and accounted righteous before God. When we are baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit assures us by this holy sacrament that He makes His home within us. It will sanctify us to be members of Christ. He will impart to us what we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall be finally presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Third, since every covenant contains two parts, promise and obligation, we are through baptism called and obliged by the Lord to a new obedience. We are to cling to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to trust Him and to love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and with all our strength. We must not love the world, but crucify our old nature and lead a holy life. If through weakness we fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and trustworthy testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. Although our children do not understand all this, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. Just as they share without their knowledge in the sin and condemnation of Adam, so are they without their knowledge received unto grace in Christ. For God speaks to Abraham, the father of all believers, and therefore to us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Genesis 17:7. The Apostle Peter also testifies to this with these words, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Acts 2:39. Therefore, God formerly commanded that infants be circumcised as a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness that comes by faith. Christ also recognized that children are members of the covenant people when He embraced them, laid His hands on them, and blessed them. Since baptism has replaced circumcision, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of His covenant. As these children mature, it is the duty of their parents to instruct them in these truths. In order that we may now administer this holy sacrament to the glory of God, for our comfort, and to the upbuilding of His church, let us call upon His holy name. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, long ago You severely punished an unbelieving and unrepentant world in holy judgment with the flood. But in Your great mercy, You saved and protected believing Noah and his family. You also drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his whole army in the Red Sea, and You brought Your people Israel through the sea on dry ground. Thus You revealed the meaning of baptism and the mercies of Your covenant in saving Your people, who of themselves deserved Your condemnation. We therefore pray that in Your infinite mercy, You will graciously look upon these children and bring them into union with Your Son, Jesus Christ, through Your Holy Spirit, so that they may be buried with Christ into death and be raised with Him to walk in newness of life. We pray that they may follow Christ day by day, may joyfully bear their cross and cling to Him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love. Comfort them in Your grace, so that when they leave this life and its constant struggle against the power of sin, they may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, Your Son. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, as you have heard, baptism is an ordinance of God to seal to us and our children His covenant. We must therefore receive the sacrament for this purpose, and not out of mere custom or superstition. That it may be clear you desire baptism as God commands you, I now would like the parents to please rise, that you may answer these following questions. First, do you confess that our children, though conceived and born in sin, and therefore subject to all the misery which sin brings, even the condemnation of God, are sanctified in Christ, and so, as members of His church, ought to be baptized? Second, do you confess that the doctrine of the Old and New Testaments, summarized in the Apostles' Creed and taught here in this Christian church, is the true and complete doctrine of salvation? And third, do you sincerely promise to do all you can to teach these children and to have them taught this doctrine of salvation? What is your answer, Brother Andrew Groen?
Yes.
And Sister Victoria Groen?
Yes.
And Brother Ben Pennings?
Yes.
And Sister Courtney Pennings? Well, dear parents, what a privilege it is to be here for yourselves again at the baptism font, and for you, Andrew and Vic, the first time. It is here at this occasion that the Lord comes to us. That's the first thing we need to remember. It's not us coming to the Lord, but firstly, it's God coming to us with His promises, and with what such wonderful promises as spiritual washing and cleansing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in baptism, of course, that we see our need for cleansing and our children's need for cleansing. At the very first moment we look into our children's eyes, already they need to be washed. They are born sinners, and so their hearts are filthy and polluted, and they need Christ's blood and the Spirit's renewing work to cleanse them. And as parents, then, we are faced with a daunting task. We are called upon to raise our children in the ways of the Lord. This is something that's impossible in ourselves. And I think that even becomes more significantly pressed on us when we realize that the first things that our children learn about God come from us. Just think about that. The first things that our children learn about God come from us as parents. And so the question I have for you as parents is, what message do you want to impress upon your children with your life and with your teaching? And that's why baptism is so helpful for us, because here in baptism, the Lord gives us a pattern, a message for what we need to teach our children. And let it be this, that Christ is sufficient. That is the great message we are to teach our children. Child, you are a great sinner, but Jesus Christ is sufficient. That's what's pictured in baptism. Through the washing of water, as it cleanses dirt, so the blood of Christ cleanses all sin. And so let your homes, dear parents, be filled with the aromas of Christ's sufficiency, so that your children would grow up smelling the sweet smells of the gospel. That yes, there is death in Adam, but life, abundant life in Jesus Christ. Well, may God help you in this glorious and daunting task. He is our help. He is our provider. And it's through His promises that we have great hope. At this time, we would like to proceed with the baptism of these two children. And following that congregation, we will stand to sing Psalter 425, verse 5. So ask the grown family to come up first, please. And he can put his head right over the font here. Miles Andrew Groen, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Chaz Gary Pennings, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation, at this time we'd like to move to the reading of Scripture, and we will save the Thanksgiving prayer for our corporate congregational prayer. So we'll read from God's holy word, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. This is page 1046 in the Pew Bible. And our text for this afternoon coming from verses 11 and 12, but we'd like to read this whole chapter of Colossians 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Congregation, at this time, we would like to unite ourselves with the church of all ages and all places by reciting together the Apostles' Creed, answering the question, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now go to our faithful God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise you that you have forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. You received us through your Holy Spirit as members of your only begotten Son, and so adopted us to be your children. You sealed and confirmed this to us by holy baptism. We earnestly pray through your beloved Son that you will always govern these baptized children by your Holy Spirit, that they may be nurtured in the Christian faith and in godliness, and grow and develop in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that they may acknowledge your fatherly goodness and mercy, which you have shown to them and to us all. And may they live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and valiantly fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion. May they forever praise and magnify you and your Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Spirit, the one only true God. Beautiful, triune God, glorious God, you are the God whom we confess, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you are the God of salvation. You are the God who, in your abundant and amazing grace, have come to us, wretched sinners, rebels, who do not deserve anything but condemnation. And yet, Lord, you come, and you come so close. You come to us in the gospel preaching. Lord, every time we open your word to hear it preached or to read it at home, every time, Lord, you come with the message of redemption, with a call to turn from our sins and to live. And a reminder, an affirmation of the full sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Lord, we hear that day after day, week after week, as you speak to us in the gospel. But Lord, we also hear that in the sacraments, in baptism. Lord, you come to us, proclaiming our need for salvation and the sufficiency of Christ to save. And so, Lord, we pray that each of us would lay hold of these clear truths, that these truths that you have made plain, both through words, but also being pictured through water as it's sprinkled on us. Lord, may our youngest children understand the gospel. May they understand their need for cleansing and their need for Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we pray that at the youngest days of their lives, that you would work faith, that our children would grow up loving the Lord Jesus, following him, living fully for his glory, and seeking to walk in him. And Lord, may this be true for us as parents as well. We confess that often we fail. Often the message that we tell our children through our own failings is very different than the message of Christ's sufficiency. Lord, so often we look elsewhere for our satisfaction. Often we try to depend on our own efforts for our acceptance. And Lord, our children see this. Forgive us as parents. And Lord, work through us in spite of ourselves. And Lord, give us hope and confidence in you, our covenant God, our God who is faithful to his promises and who always accomplishes all of your perfect purposes. Lord, we come to you as poor and needy people, and yet people who have received much. And so we come with thanksgiving, praising you for who you are and all that you are for us in Christ. Lord, if there are any who are gathered here this afternoon who don't know Christ, who don't know this sufficient Savior, oh God, we pray that you would show them the emptiness of their lives, that they would see their great need, and that they would come to face with Christ this afternoon. Holy Spirit, may you be poured out through, as the word is preached, and may you take the word and apply it to our hearts. Give us an expectancy, give us a longing, an eagerness to see Jesus, to see this beautiful and sufficient Savior, and to be changed by his glory. Lord, our words cannot describe your wonders. Our words fail us, and yet you use weak means to perform and accomplish your will. And so, Lord, we have hope, we have expectation that you are here among us, dealing with us again this afternoon. Lord, I thank you for these parents, for both Andrew and Vic and Ben and Courtney. And Lord, we pray your blessing over them and over their children. Also, we thank you for their grandparents and for their family members who have been an important role in their lives. Lord, we thank you for the friends and family that could be here this afternoon to witness this baptism. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless each of us, but also as a church family, Lord, that you would help us to come together and to know the blessings of belonging to a covenant community. Lord, as members of this community, may we encourage one another in Christ. May we point one another to Christ. And may our lives have that aroma of the gospel. Lord, we also pray for the church worldwide again. We think of persecuted Christians wherever they are, and especially the 17 missionaries in Haiti who've been kidnapped for a week already. Lord, we pray that you would grant them release, that you would keep them safe.
But Lord, above all, that Christ would be magnified in their bodies, whether they live or whether they die. And Lord, may this be true for all of us. May we learn from our persecuted brothers and sisters. And so, Lord, may we live more and more for Jesus Christ. But we also pray for our own nation, for our government, and we pray that with thankfulness for the freedoms we enjoy here in Canada. And yet, Lord, we have concern for the direction of our nation. And so we pray, O God, may there be a turning back to you, and may our leaders love to lead according to your law. And may we as a church be salt and light in our society. May we display Christ, Christ as prophet, priest, and king in the fullness of his person. And Lord, may others see the light shining and be drawn to this Savior through us. Lord, we also pray for our brother again, Jerry Gratt. And we ask that you would be with him in the midst of his pain as he recovers from his injuries and as he goes through various surgeries. And Lord, we pray that soon he would be transferred from Hamilton to the Welland Hospital. And also, Lord, remember his family as they go through this trial. Lord, encourage them and help them to cast their cares upon you. May your presence be near unto them. Lord, again, we pray for with thankfulness that we can give to Peace Haven today. Lord, we pray that you would bless us in our giving, that you would bless their ministry, and that the gospel would advance through the gifts that we give. So, Lord, we come confessing our hands and with open hand, confessing our sin and with open hands seeking to receive Christ. We pray this now in his mighty name. Amen. Congregation, at this time we have the privilege to give to the Lord of our gifts, again supporting Peace Haven. And following that, we will sing Psalter 243, stanzas 1 through 6 and 9. Psalter 243, 1 through 6 and 9.